You are listening to Documentally.com, episode 12. It's quite a long one, there's a lot to get in, so not the usual amount of breaks. If you need to go to the toilet, or you fancy a cup of tea, just press pause, but hang on in there to the end. It's well worth it. Let's get going. This sunny morning sees me rolling slowly into London Euston, or at least towards London Euston, heading south down through England from my home village. I'm hoping to hook up with a friend of mine, Phil. He's a journalist based in the Middle East at the moment that's over for a couple of weeks sorting out visas and more sinister bits and bobs. Me and him hope to head over to Parliament Square, where for the last 5 years Brian Hoare, a protester, has been camped out right under the noses of the people that we've elected to rule this country. He's no threat, yet they're fed up of being reminded that someone has the gall and guts to protest against their policies and the war, or wars, that have been started by the US and UK governments. 5 years on the 2nd of June, 5 years protesting, 5 years in the elements, 5 years basically standing up for what he believes. And he's had a lot of visitors and a lot of supporters. So although he's there alone, he's not really. He says that he wants to go back to his kids and be able to look them in the face, knowing that he's done all he can to try and save other children, the children of Iraq and other countries who are dying because of this unjust government's immoral fear and money-driven policies. And, well, they're not having it, basically. They're going to bring in a new law. In fact, they have already, stating that you can't protest within 1 kilometre, I think it is, of government, of parliament. They don't want to be reminded that the people don't agree. So he's has appealed to this initially, and that appeal worked for a moment until it went to a higher authority. Initially they said yes, this new law can't encompass Brian because he was there before the law was brought in. But now they're saying no, actually the government meant to ban all protests whether they started before this law came in. So hey ho democracy. Any government that fears one man protesting outside their front window enough to bring in a law to stop all protests without permission from the police, which is effectively stopping all protests within a certain area. I mean, what do they fear? Do they fear an uprising? Do they fear a revolution? I mean, if you've got to this stage, it's a very sorry state of affairs, let's face it. This is, at the very least, Orwellian. This is, at the very least, quashing the people that you're meant to be serving. So, let's hope we can get to meet him today and it's not too noisy that I can't conduct an interview and maybe create a podcast. At the very least, we'll have a written interview and some photographs. In the meantime, I'm on a very busy train. The guy next to me has his finger so far up his nose, I'm a bit scared it might come out the other side. And we're nearly there. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Customers for Bank Station are advised to take the eastbound district or subway.
Okay, so we've arrived in Westminster. I took a car to the station, I took the train to London, and I've taken the tube to Westminster. Just got to find the way out and hopefully hook up with Phil. I can actually see Phil leaning up against the concrete pillar, reading the daily papers as he's required to do, part of his job. He's
like I say, a journalist, and Westminster used to be his patch. Whoa, Nidding didn't make the barrier.
Can I tear you away from your newspaper, sir? How you doing?
Yeah, how are you?
Pretty good.
Nice to see you. You look very...
Summary. I'm dressed in sandals and shorts, and you're dressed in a shirt and black trousers.
It's my dad's shirt. I had no clothes because I've just come back from the Middle East, so these are borrowed clothes, basically.
Fair enough. Well, you look smarter than you ever have before.
Yeah, I know. It's strange.
Excellent. Let's head up into the street and see if we can find Brian, if he hasn't already been turfed out.
No, he's still there. I spoke to two politicians this morning as well, people that I used to work with here. And
who were they?
James Gray, a Tory, a kind of old school Tory, and Ed Vasey, who's a new Tory, one of David Cameron's sort of, you know, fluffy new liberal kind of guys. And it was kind of strange because James Gray, the old Tory, was saying that he thinks it's an outrage that Brian Orr's been thrown out. He thinks that, you know, it's a blow to democracy and it's a blow to British people's right to free speech. And Ed Vasey, who's the new guy, said, well, he's glad it's happened because he said basically the guy is just causing a mess and makes the whole place look bad. And he was also saying that, you know, basically his just constant shouting in a megaphone has gone past the right to stage a peaceful public protest, and it's just irritating. So, you know, that was that, really.
Well, it's an absolutely gorgeous day in the moment. I can't believe it. It's a good day to be in London. If
I've never seen so many good-looking women in my life.
You have just come from the Middle East.
Yeah.
There's beautiful women out there, but you just don't tend to see them.
No, absolutely. So it's kind of good, but we'll head over here and then cross.
Okay, Phil, so whereabouts are we standing now? How important is this to the British people?
Well, this is Parliament Square, so it's right opposite the House of Parliament. And basically, the thing is, where his protest is located, anyone going in and out of the House of Parliament from Downing Street, i.e. Tony Blair, all the senior governmenters, they have to go past him. So every time they see it, go past, they see him. They see his placards, and he tends to know their movements as well. So he gets his megaphone ready and yells at them as they come past and calls them liars and murderers and that kind of thing. Which is why, basically, a long time ago, when David Blunkett was Home Secretary, he said, we're going to get rid of this guy. They passed a law specifically designed to get rid of this guy. And that's what it's been about. They kind of messed it up for a while, and it got thrown out by one court, and he was allowed to stay. But finally, a court said that this law which was passed, which wasn't supposed to be retroactive, will be retroactive. So basically, he's, in theory, supposed to go. This is now illegal.
So I see a lot of guys in visi vests, and it's almost like they're putting up flags and the likes, and they've got diggers over the top of his banners. And I mean, there'll be photos on the podcast and the blog to go along with this, but he's basically been collecting no end of posters and banners since he started here. A lot of them donated, a lot of them made by himself, a lot of provocative wording and terminology. He doesn't pull any punches, does he?
No, that's the thing with him. That's what annoys people so much is, you know, he will just say that Tony Blair is a murderer, which, you know, is kind of, well, it's pretty embarrassing for the Prime Minister, I suppose. And, you know, again, you can see they're putting up flags here. Whenever they have a state visit, they put up these flags because all the big important people from abroad, they come through this area. This is the centre of London. This is the centre of political life in London. And they see this kind of messy sort of protest.
I can see Brian at the moment flicking through some literature, wearing his almost signature hat with protest badges and bits and bobs on. Let's go over and see if we can get his attention. We'll walk around the front just to have a quick look at what there is here. Well, they've actually sectioned off the pavement, so we can't, because of the flag mast maintenance. They're actually taking the poles out by the looks of things, which could be dangerous. So let's walk a little bit wider.
Before I go, Brian, put yourself under the shade for a minute. You're warming up.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm fine. I just wanted people to understand where I'm at.
Do you want a drink?
And all they've got to do is shut their mouths and stare around and stick around. I don't know how long you was here before.
No, we've just arrived.
Well, I'm saying yesterday, have you been here before, have you?
Yeah, I came during the London protest.
Well, how long were you fucking here? That's what I'm trying to get at. If you stayed here for any
length of time. We've seen you shout, we've seen you with the megaphone, we've seen
how long for, though, for fuck's sake? Tell these boys what I do here.
I saw him yesterday.
We're in the way. We've got to move. Just want some fucking sense. Yeah, I've got one fucking voice left, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Here we are going to go on all the 20,000 fucking stupid questions. Just wait. Shut up.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll come
Otherwise,
back.
Otherwise, you're not going to get
no,
anywhere.
No, listen. Just wait. Do you want an umbrella for some shade?
We're okay.
In the military and all this, fucking killing
us. Do you want a hand?
I want you to shut your mouth and learn and look and open your eyes and stop me doing
back.
All
we'll
this.
We'll come back in now. We'll just calm down. It's all right, we'll be around.
Best thing to do, because there could be other people here then.
Yeah.
And you're
gonna... Is he doing a lot of interviews in the moment?
He hasn't stopped all morning. All night. He's
been I'm like, I'm on the torture
three,
rack and you are another one to come along to turn the rack and I know you don't mean to.
We'd love you to talk to us, that's all we're here
well,
for.
Well, I will, but do it in the right bloody manner, son. If you do it in the right manner, you'll turn out to be marvellous. You get yours. That's what I'm just saying to people, to walk up, how are you, fine? All this, I've had all this a million times.
I know.
No, you don't understand. You'd have to stay here a fucking week, at least a week, day and night, to even start to have an inkling, just to begin to. How do we understand what it's like to these people in these places? What do our people know about war?
Well, I've been out to Iraq for I spent 12 months
good
there.
Good boy. Great.
We've both been there and we've seen what you're talking about.
Don't get defensive with me, son. I'm talking, just keep listening, fucking always listen. I'm talking in general terms when I say we. I didn't say you. What do our people know about war? What about our people experience war? Hey, when? Most of them don't have a fucking clue.
Brian's just enjoying his coffee after having a mini rant. He apparently hasn't slept last night. He's just bombarded at the moment with journalists, people wanting comments.
He's just been out here 5 years and he's used to listen to his own voice. He, you know, thinks he's the man. And I suppose in a way he is for this protest thing. But it's just, you know, again, if you turn up as a reporter somewhere and someone just starts abusing you when you're trying to... It just made me want to just say, all right, sod you then. Won't do it. I don't care.
Well, you've done that in the past. You've just walked off.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't then.
Well, we're going to be as patient as possible. I don't know what 5 years sleeping on a little square of grass is going to do to anybody's mind.
Made him dead.
How long have you got, boys? When's his fall?
As long as...
you need it. I haven't got to file it till Sunday, so...
Well, that's all right then. Just enjoy fucking relax and enjoy. Yeah, well... Just look and learn and see and observe. And that's how you get to know, isn't it? What did you do in Iraq? Did you take it in and assess and consider and learn what it was like before you opened your big gob?
It's hard to do.
By the way, did you speak any of the language?
Yeah, a little bit.
Much?
Enough to get by.
Well, hop, shalom, wa adil, la jamia, shalom. I know the smart ass, so you know how many months did it take me to learn those? Love, peace, justice for all. Peace now. Not much, is it, to learn? But it's not a bad start, is it?
That's a decent start.
Please and thank you in every language, eh? And that the answer? Hello? Yes? Oh, yeah, Radio Radio Europe in Spain. Yes, sir. Yes.
He's a little bit more courteous on the phone. Perhaps we should have phoned him up. It's quite funny to see, because to all intents and purposes, he just looks like a hobo camped in a homeless man. And there he is, answering his mobile phone, speaking to the media of the world.
Well, yeah, no, he is kind of a hobo. He is a homeless man. And, I mean, I don't know, the traffic noise here, this has got to be one of the busiest roundabouts. It's only one of the most well-known in London.
And they're mowing the lawn.
Yeah, they're mowing the lawn. The traffic here is just constant. I mean, I think to probably come here, you'd have to be a bit nuts, but to stay for 5 years, it would drive you mad. I mean, it's endurance test above anything else. I mean, he first came here to protest against the sanctions on Iraq, and then he became kind of a, you know, anti-war protester. And he's kind of been a focus for all these kind of different groups. You'll sometimes get anti, you know, pro-women's groups down here and all the rest of it. And it's just kind of a, you know, a lightning rod for these protesters. They come down here and, you know, as he says, every man and his dog has interviewed him. And, well, I don't know, he sort of sits there with his roll-up ciggies and his coffee out of a flask. And he's obviously kind of, he's almost got a media manager as well. It's which is kind of strange, you know, telling us to just relax, take it easy when he's going off on one.
Just ride the wave.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like turning up at a government office and speaking to an official who's had a bad morning and is thumping his table. It's just very strange.
Oh, I should have, when he says to me, what have you done in Iraq then? What have you? I was desperate to say, well, you got kidnapped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of strange, you know. It didn't make you sort of want to say, well, I've nearly been shot, you know, I've nearly been blown up.
Okay, sure, that'd be great.
Brian's just about to conduct an interview with Spanish radio, live on his mobile.
Mike. Can I correct you first of all, Mike? Not camping. I wish I was camping. Heidi ho, with your tents, you know, jolly campers. I'm not into that. I wish I could. Be nice. But when you're crawling under a piece of tarpaulin on the pavement and it's baking hot and sweating in the summer and it's icy cold in the winter and ice is forming on it, and you're crawling in and out like a little worn out worm or Brian the Badger, when you're really knackered at 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the morning and it's not quite coming. But anyway, don't feel sorry for me, folks. What about these poor refugees in wartime who don't even have a bit of plastic to put over their heads, eh? Everything's relative, isn't it? Yes, I'm afraid I have some terrible pictures that my dear, mad, marvellous Mother Maria, one of our beautiful ladies here, and she's just gone down the print shop to get them laminated. Printed and laminated from Afghanistan, and you can check it out on www.rense.com. Please check out these pictures. Please see what we're doing to the babies in Afghanistan with our war material made of our nuclear waste. DUM, it's called DUM, depleted uranium munitions. DUM is for our babies. And dumb bullets and bombs for theirs. Isn't that nice? It's because I am a father, you see. I love my kid. Anybody who's held his child, his baby, what an experience, eh? That's right, they can't quite see the exit strategy, you see, because there's so much oil there, and they're making so much money out of war. Do you remember how the Vietnam War went on and on and on forever? War's about making money, that's what it's about. Yeah, that's right. I have people who said to me after the first year I've been here, you've been here a year, Brian, and we're still at war, the world still doesn't have peace, you know, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry, what a failure, you know. How many centuries, how many thousands of years have we been at war, and Brian, the peace man, Barmy Brian, is supposed to make it all right in a year. Well, I'm sorry I'm a failure, but pardon me if I'll keep trying, because I happen to think my neighbour's kid, you, your wife, you, my brother, my sister, your granny, I think you're precious, important, and it doesn't really matter which country you live in, or the colour of your skin, or your race or religion. Are we all human? We all get it wrong, don't we? And we all, don't take yourself too seriously. If you think I'm mad, come and see and come and hear. Yeah, stop killing our kids. Make peace, not war. Let Iraq infants live. Let Afghan infants live. Let everybody live. Love and let live. Isn't that mad? Isn't that crazy? Aren't I loco? What do you think? The police have a lot to answer for, I'm afraid. I've been here 5 years, day and night, and I've seen the police in every which way with their conduct. I've seen them behave wonderfully, just like you would expect of our good British Bobby, you know, Dixon and Doc Green and that. And the good copper, the good care. Oh, I have, I'm talking on one instance about a person going in the gates of Parliament, a big person, and his two dirty fingers up to me as I'm crying out, love your neighbour as yourself, love your neighbour's child as yourself. You remember my little song? As I'm crying that out, two dirty fingers round the wrong way, not the Winston Churchill way, the FU way, and I'm calling out, and I'm telling this policeman about this, and I said, I called this person the fat slug. And do you know what the policeman's response to me was? Hey, that's no way to talk about Nicholas Soames. Isn't that interesting? And
thank you. Let's make peace, eh? Path by a con dios, eh? What a wacky, weirdo, way out idea. Hasta mañana, eh? Thank you. Thank you.
You are listening to Documentary League.
Well, they've brought in a law specifically for you, by the looks of things.
Yes. Brian's Bill, Hoare's Law. Isn't it marvellous?
Hoare's Law?
Yes. Brian Hoare. And it didn't work. Lovely little girl from Barbara.
What?
Barb, where did that little girl come from last night? Estonia. Estonia, and she lives in Norway as well. Yeah, lovely little girl. But you're still here, she says. But you're still here. They'd have been trying for 5 years to get rid of me, eh? In every which way they can. 8 court cases. 8. 9 now, with this last one. 9. 4 at the Royal Courts of Justice. We won 3 times. 3 historic landmark cases at the Royal Courts of Justice, you know? And this last one, we haven't actually lost. Sorry, brother. Sorry, mate.
Sorry.
Just having our umbrella knocked down by a flagpole, swinging over our heads on the end of a crane.
Yeah, and this one, we haven't lost. This is just a blip. A blip, you know. We'll either have our law lords correct this momentary imperfection.
How are you going
to... Or else we'll have to go to Strasbourg. Whichever way. Whichever way. But the question is, of course... Can you have one person, albeit Barmy Brian, one fucking nutter is what they call me. Do you have swearing on your programme? Fucking nutter. You saw those pictures of those babies, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got the website, didn't you? Rents.com. RENSE.com. See what we're doing to the babies in Afghanistan. With our war material, depleted uranium, munitions. I don't know if I said that to Spain. I think so.
Yep.
Don't miss much. Made of our nuclear waste. We dropped thousands of tons of this shit on these countries. Isn't that nice? Isn't that so thoroughly British? Isn't it? Do you know the half-life of depleted uranium munitions?
Millions.
The Royal Society, our finest scientists. What do I know? Ooh, come on. I'm just Joe Bloggs on the streets. How would I know? They say it's 4.5 billion years. Billion! B for Bravo. Yes, I was in the Navy, you know. I remember that one. B for Bravo. Bravo, Batman, Bush, and Boy Blair. Bravo! To save the people of the world, you have nuked the babies with our nuclear shit till the end of time. Ain't you smart? Isn't that smart weapons? Are you really so wicked and so vile and so despicable and so demonic? I hear all talks about you being in the Freemasons and Vandenberg Society and all these, you know, all these... I don't know what the fuck. I'm not into all that. I know that. I do know there's the... project for the new American century. This is indisputable and it's on the record. And it's game plan and match, isn't it? And these neocons, these Ku Klux Klan, these survivors of Hitler who have learnt a few nastier tricks along the way. You see now we torture the babies. Can you imagine having being a mum or dad with a baby like that? You got brothers and sisters?
My brother's got kids.
Yeah, and you love them, don't you? And the kids are cute, aren't they? And you have fun with them. Do you play football with them?
They're smaller than that.
Smaller than that? Yeah, they go. I never had a chance to play with my kids. I never had a bloody chance.
You've got 7?
8.
8 kids?
I've had 8. I lost one. And he's special. You don't forget the ones you lose, you know, do you? Oh, yeah, you only live for 12 hours. So? Are you... You lost one and you've got 7 more. Well, what are you belly aching about? Which of your child can you do without? Which of our children which of our babies, which of our brothers and sisters can we do without? Those Yanks who are having their loved ones coming home in body bags, can they do without them? How about a sweet little girl called Melissa? Melissa from New Jersey, if I remember right. She came to me on the 4th, 2 days after the village idiot was re-elected. She was here in our country, and she was desolate, this little girl, only a kid about 17 or so, only a baby. And I got my arms around my little baby, one of my babies, and my dad, I'm dad. And her sad face. And Terry Dennett, our good archivist, our photographer, he took a picture of her. What a picture. And there's a picture of this sweet Melissa holding up her friend Vince. Little photograph, little picture. There he is in his white cap and his pretty Marines uniform and the stars and stripes behind him. Melissa, so sad, with her friend Vince. She wrote a little poem for him. I've got to get all this up on the website, but I have so much to do. If the police and other criminals would stop smashing down this place, which is called, by the way, Westminster United Nations Heart Gallery. We have the heart of the world here. We had Jonathan Kennedy, US Senator Edward Kennedy's son. He came to see me a few years ago now. I kept him talking for 45 minutes. I was talking, he was listening. You can believe that, can't you?
Not very much so.
And he took back a message. He and his people carrier with a chauffeur, smart people, were circling round and round for 45 minutes. Do you know that time keeps cropping up? 45 minutes, Mr. Blair. 45 minutes, Mr. Blyer. Dodgy dossiers, plagiarised thesis. This is Barmy Brian, the nutter speaking. Yes? Where did we get to? Plagiarised thesis? A 45-minute sexy lie? Oh, we'll understand that, all of us, won't we? And for that, all the innocents have to die. Is it a filthy business?
Well done, mate. Stick with it.
Cheers, brother.
Is this their latest scheme to put you up, is it?
Nah, bro, these are beautiful boys. Jonathan Kennedy was here, and I gave him a message to take home. He was sent here as an emissary. Eric, shut up. Can you get out of... You can listen if you want.
We'll move away.
But if we want you to talk, we'll get you to talk, but not as background noise, yes? I might get you to talk. They'll get you to talk. Yes? Thank you. Yes, Jonathan Kennedy. He told me this is about love, Brian. That's what he said. This is about love. Oh, and Melissa. Melissa's poem. She wrote it out in a little notebook. She was quite angry, Melissa. She was very, very upset. My friend Vince. It was her friend called Vince. That's who the soldier boy was. Just another soldier. Just another boy in a pretty uniform. My friend Vince. Every fucking day, Vince, I'll fucking think of you. Because you fucking died, Vince. You died. It's fucking true. They sent you to Iraq. They put you under attack. They sealed you up in a black sack, and now you're never coming back. I'll think of you forever, forever and a day, because you fucking died, Vince. The fucking US. Stop killing our kids. Do you know what Melissa tells me? If I feel this bad about my friend Vince, what about his new wife? I only married a couple of weeks. Send away, return home in a bag. Stop killing our kids, eh? Stop killing our kids. And stop sending our unknowing, terrified, shit-scared, macho, brave, I'm gonna go and kick some ass. Stop selling our kids to go and slaughter and slaughter and slaughter other people's most innocents. What did they ever do to us? What did they ever do to us? Check it out. Check out this place called Iraq. Iraq. Yeah? Check out Winston Churchill. Check out genocidal Britain. Check out Cruel Britannia. Do you know that song? Cruel Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Britain never, never, never shall be slate. Bollocks. But we'll make everybody else slaves, won't we? I don't want anybody to be slave. I want you to be free. How about you being free? And the real freedom comes when we value each other. Yeah, that little boy called Vince, he's just another yank, just another dickhead who deserves what he fucking gets, isn't he? How about when I went up to the pub in the wintertime and I'm having a meal, yeah? And I'm sat down having a coffee because I'm teetotal, I'm stone cold sober. You know that by the way I speak, don't you? Is my mind clear? Is it lucid? Is it logical? You try stop drinking alcohol for 5 bloody years. See how smart you get. Mind you, you have to know somebody called Mr. and Mrs. God, Mum and Dad as well. You have to go around the world living and loving and learning and sharing and giving and taking and reaping and sowing and weeping and mourning and repenting, because we all screw it up sometimes, don't we? Did you get all those words? I'm glad you're taping all this. I'm glad you're not having to write it. Anyway, it's a speech, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yes, so where were we? So let me finish. Yes, the pub. And somebody sits down beside me, and this person's had a drink. Oh, and he's a supporter. I get these, you know, supporters. And he's with me. And he's not with me for 30 seconds before he's saying, kill all the fucking Americans. Kill all the fuckers. Kill the fucking... And I said to him, hey, you're going to talk like this, and have to get up and leave, okay? It carries on. So I get up, and I get up. I said, before I go, I'll tell you how ignorant and how wrong you are. Check it out. Just check it out. I care about Vince. I care about all those little ragheads, as they call them. Sand niggers, as they call them. It's that noise there. Do you know that it's the Wild East over there? Do you know exactly how bad it is? Do you know, well, you've been there. But what do the people of America know about how terrible? You don't see this on Fox, on CNN. You see the pictures on these boards here. They want to remove these. Isn't it marvellous? Do you know what the latest one from the police is? I've been granted authorization for my demonstration to continue under this new regime. You have to get permission to protest now in Britain. Is there?
They've granted it.
Yes, they're... No, you have to get permission to protest. That is the new Mickey Mouse law. It's called the Serious Organised Crime and Police Act. It's for dealing with the mafia and the mobsters and the bad buggers, yeah? Yeah, that's what it's for. And Clause 132 in this act they've popped it in, as you do. Little clause regarding behaviour in the vicinity of Parliament Square. So it's very useful making this law to deal with all these very dangerous people. So once you've got this law, which you have now, you see, you can use it when you have a... Did you see Barbara Tucker with her pink banner, her pink sequin banner, which said love, peace, justice for all?
Sounds dangerous to me.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm giving you a chance to say a bloody word, have I? I'm sure you've got something
to
say.
You're doing well.
Yeah, I know, but it's good of you to get a response as well, isn't it? Yes, well, you've been giving me responses. You've been with me, haven't you? Spain was with me, weren't they, when I was talking to them? What do you think? Do you think they were listening on the radio?
Do you think
they'll be phoning in?
They've got a lot of words in.
Do you think they'll be phoning in? Oh, a lot of words. I practice because we only get 2 bloody minutes in this country. And I'm supposed to be grateful to get 2 whole minutes on the radio. Do you know I spoke to Mexico for 14 hours?
What?
Yeah, 14 hours. 45 minutes every day, day after day, week after week. Mexico University Radio, 45 minutes out of that precious
hour.
Precious. Well, I don't normally swear, I'm sorry.
It's fine with us.
It's only you just told me I could. I'm normally very holy, you see. And that's why the priests, they hate me in Mexico. They hate me. Oh, they're throwing bricks through the windows of the radio studio.
Really?
Isn't that very Christian? He that is without sin, let him throw the first house brick. Yes, well, it's very appropriate. It's scriptural, isn't it? It's what you do, isn't it? Brian, he thinks he's Jesus Christ. He thinks he's God. Blaspheming, bloody, bloody, blah. Bobby says, no, he doesn't. Yes, it does, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't, blah, blah, blah. Read the book. You can read, can't you? He says to the priest. He's a bit cheeky, Pablo. He actually tells the priest to fuck off. He doesn't like hypocrites, you see. Do you know what the priests don't like about me? Hey, priests. What did Jesus Christ tell Peter, who you call the first pope? Yes, what did he say? He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Notice he said feed them, not feast off of them. Come on, priests, do the part, play the part, walk the walk. Walk the walk. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the good shepherd puts himself between the danger and the tender, helpless lambs. Yeah. They call me an obstruction of the highway, you know. With my banners, with my boards. Obstruction of the highway. Yeah, I am a bloody obstruction. You see, you've got this lunatic, this psychopath, this absolute... Oh, he is a fucking nutter. There's no doubt about this. And he is so sick and egotistical and so big, full of himself. And, you know, it's Cliff Richard. And he wanted to be a pop star. And when he was on Hot... Oh, I can't. Sorry, I can't stand Cliff Richard. I really can't. And he wanted to be a pop star. And when he's on holiday in Cliff Richard's mansion in Barbados, he was hiding. Nobody knew where he was. And there he was playing his ukulele. Hey, you know George Forby? Standing on... I can't even remember
leaning
the tune.
Leaning on the lamppost.
Leaning on the lamppost. I can't remember the tune. Can you remember the tune?
I'm leaning on the lamppost on the corner of the streets for some certain little lady to come by. Oh, me. Oh, my.
Yeah. Anyway, Geldof has the answer. Geldof can make peace for the world. Not just for Africa, but the whole wide world. Come on, bloody Geldof. Get torturing Tony Genocidal Blair to dust off his banjo, his ukulele. Get him to do that and get him a spot on Top of the Pops and get him a new career. He wants to be famous. You want to be famous, Brian? Somebody told me that years ago. Oh, I am famous. I wish I could be anonymous. I wish. Just another Joe Bloggs, just another man with his children. What about our boys and girls over there? Now they know what a pile of shit it is. Now they know they're in the middle of this place that they call hell. You know, that's what they call Iraq, the Yanks. Do they just want to be back home? I think the war fever's died down for a lot of them, hasn't it? Of course they're killing and they're killing and they're killing to keep themselves alive, aren't they? And keep their mates alive because they're shit scared. And yes, some greedy, nasty, wicked buggers are enjoying it. There's always some sickos, isn't there? And some are getting rich out of it and looting, and there'll be the looting going on just like in Vietnam. And how much stuff gets driven in the front and driven out the back and flogged off by the quartermaster? How much? Don't tell me that don't go on. But don't tell me there ain't a lot of decent young boys there who would rather be at home, back at the farm. Yeah, I want to go home, eh? Yeah. Hoist up the jumbie sail, eh? Or do I want to go home? Do I want to go home? Hoist up the jumbie sail. See how the mainsail sails. Tell the captain ashore, let me go home. Let me go home. Oh, I wish I could go. I'm told I've lost my home. I'm told I've lost the best lady in the whole wide world, whose name is Kay Hoare. And Kay means pure. And when I was going through China on the way to Cambodia, that was some journey that was, all across land with nothing in my pocket, with mum and dad holding my hand. There is a good shepherd. You better believe it. You better believe it. And trust and cry out. The people in China told me that your name, Hoare, sounds like our word for good. I was quite pleased to hear that, after living in this country where Hoare sounds like something else. And I went back home, and when I finally got home, a good while later, I told my wife that. I don't live in China, she says. Very pragmatic, my lady. Very. I said, yeah, but 1.5 billion people can't be wrong, can they? Kay Hoare, pure good. And that's what she is. And do I love her? Do I want to put my arms around her? And you know, I put my arms around the world on this pavement. Everybody comes to me. The whole wide world. You just wouldn't believe it. You really would be gobsmacked. That's why I'm bawling you out just now.
This is the first place that a lot of people come to when they come to London.
Bloody needs to be. They will learn. And they will learn that they're loved. The matter who they are, where they come from. And do you know what? They respond very well to the message here. Because they do know a little bit about genocidal Britain and United States of Assassins. And it's also good for them to see that that's not all we are, is it? There is great in Britain, isn't there? There are great Britons. There's goodness and glory in Britain. And the same goes for USA, isn't it? Haven't I met some fine people in America, from America, some glorious people? Cindy Sheehan's one of the ones people would know, of course, yes, but so many others.
She came to see you, I remember that.
So many others. We made a lovely video. She's a beautiful lady because her heart, and she has courage, doesn't she? And it takes courage. Who wants to confess that your child, your husband, your loved one died in vain? Much easier to take that little scrap of silk and that metal and that medal, that little sop. But what an obscene exchange, isn't it? Your loved one, your beloved one, and they give you a toss, a bit of metal and a bit of cloth, a bit of material, and that's supposed to, oh, come on. That's no fair exchange, is it? So we got to stop it, haven't we? And the story is it's down to you and it's down to me, isn't it? That's the story. We are each responsible. Yeah, we can blame the big bad buggers, Bush and Blair and Rumsfeld and Cheney and all these. Oh, and that Rice woman, isn't she vile? She's a piranha, isn't she? Isn't she horrible? It's noisy, isn't it?
Very.
You can see why I mustn't use my megaphone, because I'm disturbing the peace in this area. Do they take the piss? Do they take... By the way, how loud are our bombs? Ring, 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 ring. USA, UK, unclean, unclean, unclean. USA, UK, lepers of the world. Why are we still in the United Nations? Why? Oh, and I ring out. Ring, 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 ring. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead MPs, please. We want live MPs, please. We want MPs with living, loving hearts, not hearts of stone. Look what we do to our neighbours, babies, brothers, sisters. Is this not a dirty business? As Agatha Christie said, murder most foul. God Almighty, we've got to change, you know. And they don't like me showing these pictures for some strange reason. Would Hitler like you showing what the gas chambers, his horror, his Holocaust? Yeah, my dad was in Bergen-Belsen, you know. He was a sniper in the British Army. And he was one of the very first to go into Bergen-Belsen to save those people. And he gassed himself 20 years later. That was my dad, Robert William Hoare. Yes, and those gas summons are no longer in action, no longer doing their job, are they? They're finished. Yes, they were horrific, they were vile, they were obscene while it was happening. And far too many people were murdered. And do you know, we're worse than Hitler could ever be in his wildest dreams. Do you know that? Check it out. Check out depleted uranium munitions. Check out thousands of tons of our nuclear shit made into a war material called DUM. Oh, it's very dense. It's very hard. And does it burn? Does it burn? Oh, it burns. Burn them all. That's what the idiots shout out. Burn them all. Yeah, it burns. And when it hits the steel of a tank, cuts through it like a hot knife through butter. Wow, wallop. It does the business. Does the business. If you have firefighters to fight fire, and you had crime fighters to fight crime. What is it?
It was going well.
And,
you were doing well.
I was.
I was hooked.
If you had crime fighters to fight firefighters to fight fire and crime fighters to fight fire. Is it peace fighters? What are peace fighters? No, not peace fighters. Come back to me. I'll come back to that one.
We'll remember that one.
I've been told so much and so many people. It's all gone in. It's a computer.
Ryan, how much sleep do you get every night?
Not very much. Not very much. I'm not paranoid, but we are waiting in an important moment in time. You see, I should have said we did. We were granted authorization, and the chief inspector, he came and gave me, Andy Robertson, he came and gave me a letter from Superintendent Peter Terry. And in this letter, he grants me authorization to continue my demonstration. Continuing to demonstration, yeah.
Is this recent?
Indefinite, yes, a few days ago, which are, yeah. And subject to conditions, which is written, which I believe are reasonably necessary. And when you look at it, and you look at these conditions, anyway, I said to him, when he gave me the letter, thank you for the letter, I said, I will need to take legal advice, of course, and we will get back to you, of course, and in the meantime, all I can say is I do find these conditions most unreasonable. But how are you going to get real? Some greedy, fat, rich bastards getting fatter and fatter and richer, and you, mucks, are paying for it all. USA, UK, you dickheads, grow up. Open your eyes. What's war about? Look into it. War is about making money. It always was. It always will be. You never ever made peace with war. Don't happen. Oh, yeah. If you fight, where is that one? If you fight. If firefighters fight. If crime fighters fight. Crime. If firefighters fight. If crime fighters fight, what do peace fighters? Would it be peace
fighters?
No, what? No, there's another one. Why? Where is my head today? What do they fight? If I was to say it,
you were up all last night, though.
I've been up for 5 years all night. It's a damn good one, though. You're getting the message. And if America could get that message, and we got that message, we cracked it. Turn the machine off for 1 second. Let me shut up and on.
You are listening to Documentally.com. Documenting the mind.
War against terror? Hey, you've been in a place of war. Is war scary? Scared. Is war terror? War is terror, isn't it? It's the greatest terror. And grown men shit themselves, don't they? And piss themselves. They lose control of their bowels and their bladder. Don't say shit scared for nothing, you know. Danger's a metaphor. It happens. And if it happens to strong, husky men, muscular men, what's it like for the little kid, for the little girl? Does she wet herself because she's scared? Oh, God's sake, when are we going to stop being so cruel Britannia? When? There's goodness in our country, isn't there? If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be alive still. Goodness in our world. Because what is there to hope for? If all we are is greedy, grasping, horrible buggers. But there's a good side, isn't there? It's time we did it. You do know there's two international languages, of course you do, and you can speak them both. Each one of us can. Do you know what they are?
Love.
Good boy. And what's the other one?
Peace.
Bollocks. Get it right. Think about it. Be logical. Be clear. Be clean.
I went for the easy one.
Love. Hate. Yeah? Do we make ourselves understood in either of those two languages wherever we go? Do we?
Brian, what will it take?
to get you off here.
What will it take to make the peace? What will it take to make the peace? What does it take? How many have to die? Isn't it sick? Do you know the concern, really? If none of ours were dying, and if the people weren't being shown anything, which is what they want, isn't it? Nothing to be shown for what was going on over there. Consider how carefully they controlled the media in Vietnam, in Southeast Asia. How much do we hear of the media from Afghanistan? What's going on there? I understand the Americans bought up the satellite TV rights. Yeah? It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Interesting. And they don't want us to know.
Do you think you'll die here?
Possibly. Possibly. I'm going to die somewhere, aren't I? I'm doing something, aren't I? I'm doing something. I could be at home, sat on the couch, shouting at the news for another 10 bloody years, couldn't I? Wasn't that effective? Wasn't that useful? Shouting at the bloody news, at the bollocks. Shouting at the darkness, or I could be turning on a light. Anti-war, protester. Bollocks, I never called myself that. How about pro-peace campaigner? Make peace, not war.
What about your family? Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What?
Not very much, because I'm a bit fucking angry against you, and you, and all our fucking country, and all our fucking world. Because I told you about Kay Hoare, this lady called Kay Hoare, the best lady in the whole wide world. And the best children as well, glorious children, each one of my children. How precious they are. Do I love them? Am I giving my life for them? Am I dying for my kids? Yes, I bloody well am. To be told I've abandoned my wife and my children. I'm here because my neighbour's kid is as precious as mine. That's why I'm here. I said as precious, didn't I? I didn't say more. I know the value of my child, and my child's value is above price. I love my kid, and I love your kid. This is a whole bloody biography, it always is. And so let's wrap it up.
Yeah, okay.
So why am I pissed off? Because I've lost my wife and my kids because none of you fuckers care enough. You don't care for me, you don't care for them, you don't care for anything, you don't care for yourselves.
You don't get to see your wife or children. Do you get to see them or not?
No, arsehole, no. And I'm fucking angry, yeah? I'm sorry to be abusive to you, but you are Mr. Joe Public, who walks by and who asks me stupid bloody questions. No, I don't see my wife and kids. And nor do other people. Nor do other people, because their wife and kids have been murdered, folks, because we didn't care enough, did we? Yeah? And how many of our families in England and Britain and in America don't get to see their kids? Because their kids are busy over there fighting for the freedom of the world and democracy and bollocks. And we don't care enough, do we? And how many millions are going to have to die this time? But by the way, folks, what we've done, we have done the biggest crime in the history of the whole wide world. Check it out. Hitler's gas ovens, they've stopped killing people, but that depleted uranium munitions, Serbia, Sarajevo, Yugoslavia, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq, twice now, thousands of tons, we poison these places till the end of time. We gotta put Saddam in his box. Give me the mic. We gotta put Saddam in his box. We gotta keep the lid on that fox. 200 babes must die each and every day. A way to make that evil bastard pay. Dum 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 dum. You ask the world's waste disposal man. We're the guys to flush him in the can. No garbage trucks for them. They can live in shit. Take it, eat it. That's the size of it. See, I can sing American as well, can't I? 800 tons of depuranium scattered all Iraq by Uncle Sam. Kids die to pick up bullets that need no gun. Sanctions stop the medicines. Kids die in agony. Four kids, no more sun. We starve them in the knowledge that we right. Blockaded under siege. We'll starve them in the knowledge that we right. Blockaded under siege, day and night. We've sold the all for food joke. We've searched big heart. We get the crude for nothing. We sure have the art. How about that one was broadcast by CNN International to the whole wide world at Christmas time 2001? Did miracles happen? Yeah? Was that a result? Did we do the work, eh? United Nations sucks, it's our toy. We withhold our dues, that's our ploy. Give us the world that we paid for, that we traded for our soul. We bomb a man, we blast a megaton. No need get permission, there it's done. We really have no worries. All others are too sane to dare and try and stop us without a nuclear holocaust to make Iraq look tame. Da 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 da. America, America, God lost his grace on thee. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Remember, you know the rest of it, don't you? Anyway, I'll finish it off another time, okay? Yeah, firefighters fight fire. Crime, shut up, I'm nearly there. If firefighters fight fire, crime fighters fight crime, what do freedom fighters fight? We haven't quite got that one yet, have we?
That's it.
That's it. Perfect. Oh. Yeah, that's a message if ever I've heard one.
This is Brian Hoare, Parliament Square, Westminster, London, Britain, ongoing, indefinite, and I'm speaking on documentally.com. And I give everybody my love, my kisses, my prayers, and a bloody big boot up the bum. Come on, people, let's do it now. Make the peace now, okay? Thanks.
Well, that wasn't the, well, that wasn't even an interview, really. You try and squeeze a question in.
It's just a rant, and talking to that as a guy afterwards who'd been working for the Islam Channel on television, and he said that, you know, the problem with it is that it can just actually undermine the cause that he's trying to fight for, because you go along, you can't have a conversation with him, you can't, he's not polite to you, he's not, you know, presentable, he's not somebody that, you know, it's too easy to look at him and say, well, he's a nutter. And even if he isn't, it just means that you've got someone shouting at you. It can be kind of alienating to the things he says. I mean, regardless of whether or not he's making sense.
I see what you're saying. He's on the defensive straight away as soon as you walk on, and he's quite happy to speak. And he's got a lot of, you know, good things to say. I mean, he's worked on his sound bites. It's just that if you can't ask a question, it's difficult to get a more rounded kind of... I'd love to know a little bit more about the man behind it all, but I can see a guy that's very, very guilty, as well as...
That's how it seems, you know. You wonder, again, what the guy is kind of... very angry when you talk about his children or talk about his wife. You know, the wife and children that he loves so much and doesn't see anymore. Won't talk any more about that. It just seems... I feel the same as you. I think he's probably a sort of conflicted guy. It makes you wonder what he's running from, in a way.
We're running across roads at the moment, trying to negotiate the London traffic.
I don't know. I've got to be honest. I just find again, no matter what side it is, if you're pro-war or anti-war or whatever you stand for, if somebody just talks at you for 2 hours, that's not interesting to me. That's not a human being, actually, because a human being will sit there and have a conversation with you, and he doesn't have a conversation. I think he's disappeared inside his own mind. He's disappeared inside his belief and inside this.
Do you think he was like? I mean, this far be it for us to judge, but was he like this before he started? Has it happened as a result of protesting out in the open for 5 years solidly?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be maybe. If you're out in the middle of a bloody roundabout for 5 years, it drives you nuts. Or it does something to you, and maybe that's all that's happened. He's just not what you would call to be a well-balanced individual anymore. I mean, I don't think he's harming anyone. He's not bombing anyone or any of that stuff. But he's, I don't know. There's more to it, again, than just him fighting the good fight, in a way. There's more to his motivations than just... he wants to save the world or save his children. It's there's a person there somewhere, and there's a fairly significant ego. But again, by the way he talks, anyone who talks at you like that, and says shut up and listen to me, listen, I'm going to give you some wisdom for 2 hours. It's like you feel like saying, well, hold on, son, I could explain a thing or two to you as well, because where have you been outside of London, or your hometown or wherever it is? I think he's from the West Midlands. Where have you been? What have you seen? I mean, yeah, he's been around Cambodia or whatever, but again, it's like. I can see why, if he was saying that some people say he thinks he's Jesus Christ, you can see where that kind of comes from. He's very kind of, of his opinions and desperate for you to hear them.
Nah. And that's just the opinion of one journalist.
Yeah. Again, we just prefer somebody not to be shouting in your face all the time. That can be pretty alienating, If you want to hear somebody's, what they've got to say about something, or you want to, think about what's happening in Iraq and all those things. If someone's just yelling at you with a bullhorn,
there's a lot of what he says that is very, very close to the bone, very true in a lot of regards. If he stopped and listened and had a more paced conversation, I think there'd be no stopping him.
Absolutely. You almost think if he sat there with his protest and it was a bit quieter and a bit more kind of almost humble about it. He's very belligerent, People would... maybe like him a bit more. I don't know. I mean, in terms of... that's the thing. He's not... from the conversation we've just had with him, I'm sure people have got a lot of respect for him and all the rest of it. But from those 2 hours we spent with him talking at us, he's not... doesn't come across as being a likeable man. He doesn't come across as being a pleasant guy.
No, but I can't empathise with 5 years. I can't empathise with what has happened to him before this. What he's done to himself through almost, and it is a sacrifice, whether or not you think he's just a guy without a home, or he truly, honestly, deep down, desperately wants to save the children of the world, as he puts it. I can't empathise with what it would be like for 5 years of my life to be put in that place. I guess the truth will out when he does get moved on, kicked out, arrested, imprisoned. Maybe we'll see the real man behind it all.
I don't know, he's in prison anyway, that's all it is. You've just spoken to a man who's spent 5 years inside, and that's what it is. He's in prison on that island. He's in prison in his, in his protest. And it's like a pretty heavy burden.
I think I need a beer.
Oh yes.
That was a bit shallow. Okay, cut!